Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Grave Secrets by Kate Allenton. Narrated by Carrie Coelho. Chapter 1. Rose Mitchell stretched like a cat, twisting and turning and savoring every deliciously satiated muscle as she rolled in her new luxurious covers. She turned onto her stomach and fluffed the pillow beneath her head with no intention of getting up anytime soon.
That was fun. Will I see you again?
He rose from the bed, giving her a glimpse of his toned backside. He wasn't her typical client. He wanted more than her psychic readings. He'd wanted her body, too. After weeks of flirting with him, he'd finally picked up on her subtle cues, and one thing led to another. One minute she'd been giving him a reading, and then the next they could barely wait to get upstairs to her loft. He made her feel like a damn queen, satisfying every single one of her needs, and then some. He slid his pants up his legs and walked over to the dresser, where he picked up her tarot cards and turned over the top three.
When did you learn to read cards?
She shrugged.
Is that really all you want to talk about? Come back to bed.
He glanced over his shoulder with a sexy grin.
If I didn't know any better, I'd think you thoroughly enjoyed yourself. The handcuffs were a nice touch.
She smiled.
I enjoyed taking charge. Most men won't let me play.
I don't mind a strong woman sometimes. Not all the time, but I'll occasionally allow it, he said.
So come back to bed.
She grinned, running her hands beneath the covers.
Not yet, but soon,
he said, flipping each card with a frown, until about 10 cards in, he smiled as if in relief.
So? Who taught you to read cards?
My sister. She's a waitress and moonlights as a psychic to help pay the bills,
Rose answered, getting up from the bed and giving a glimpse of her body in an attempt to quicken his response time. She hadn't nearly had her fill.
Your sister? He asked. Is she as good as you?
Better. I'm only good at tarot and clairvoyance. I can pick up on the dead, and I know things I shouldn't, but my sister actually sees ghosts as if they were standing in front of her. I don't work that way, Rose answered, running her hands up his bare chest.
But the abilities run in all the women in our family. He slowly nodded.
You know, years ago, people would have burned you at the stake. But not now. Now everyone wants to prove ghosts are real and get famous for being the one to produce the best evidence. And then there are liars and cheats that steal money from grieving people. Which one are you? Opportunist or thief?
She dropped her hands from his chest and tilted her head.
My family and I aren't like that. We try to help people.
That's what they all say. Until I prove them wrong.
He grabbed her arm as she stepped back. He yanked her back to his chest, holding her to him in a tight grip. She tried to yank her arm free, and he twisted it, making her scream and drop to her knees.
You don't want to do this! Let me go, and I swear I'll never tell a soul!
She whimpered through the pain.
You had your fun. Now it's time for me to have mine. You and I are going to play a little game.
Please, don't hurt me.
Tears slid down her eyes as her body trembled.
If you get my question right, you live. You answer it wrong, and you die. But not before I've had some fun. It's only fair, right?
Tears streamed down her face as genuine fear clutched tight.
Do you understand?
She didn't answer through the sobs and the pain. He twisted her arm more.
I said, do you understand?
Yes.
She breathed through clenched teeth, fighting against the coming darkness that threatened her soul.
Listen clearly. I'll only ask once, he said, easing his grip.
Her whole body shook as the darkness got closer. Fear, unlike any she'd ever felt, took hold. He pressed the cold metal of a sharp knife against her neck, a weapon she hadn't even seen him produce.
"What is my dead child's name?"
Oh, God. Her sobs grew out of control. She didn't know his child's name. She barely remembered his. "I don't know. It doesn't work that way. I can't think when I'm scared."
Wrong answer.
She braced for the worst, hoping the darkness would claim her first. It didn't. Hours later, as her beaten and broken body lay unmoving on the floor, her breath came in shallow pants. Knowing he was still in her house, with no hope of him leaving anytime soon, was a fate worse than death. He grabbed a picture from her dresser and broke the frame, taking the family picture of her, her sister, and her niece from inside.
"I hope the women in your family can play my game better than you."
He gave her a predatory smile and folded the picture, shoving it in his pocket. She peered up at him through her watery eye, the other swollen shut and caked with dried blood. His heavy arms lifted her limp body as if she were nothing more than a rag doll. He'd been sloppy. His plan had gone awry. Now he had to finish dealing with her before he could return to eliminate all traces of his crime. Chapter 2. Parents in the bleachers chatted among themselves, seemingly oblivious to the game. The woman sitting next to psychic Riley St. James slurred her words, a red plastic cup in hand, its fruity scent triggering a familiar wave of nostalgia. It was the same wine Riley served at her bar. The woman's husband was by her side, a sports dad, leaning forward intent on the game, twirling his keys and grunting every time one of the kids scored. The sweltering sun blazed in the sky above. Its oppressive heat bore down on Riley's shoulders. What had started out as a nice cool day with showers in the morning had quickly warmed into an unforgiving summer afternoon. The children on the field were flushed, their skin slick with perspiration and sunscreen. Emily Jane was no different. Her little cheeks were blazing red as she rolled back onto her feet and ran off, scooping up the discarded soccer ball to throw back into play. A little blonde girl on the opposing team chased after her. She caught her and gave Emily Jane a shove, knocking her to the ground.
"Kick her in the shin!"
Riley St. James jumped up in the bleachers and yelled across the soccer field at Emily Jane. The first grader rose with a competitive determination in her glare and went chasing the ball around the field again.
"Riley, we're not supposed to encourage them hurting each other," Maggie said, touching Riley's arm to get her to sit back down.
Riley and Maggie had known each other for years. Maggie worked as a waitress at the local diner, while Riley tended to eat out all the time because she sucked at cooking. It was only later on that they realized they both had a special ability to see and communicate with the dead, and that bonded them instantly. Someone to talk to who understood things that most did not. Maggie's entire family was gifted, and they all embraced Riley like she was part of their own family. Maggie's daughter, Emily Jane, possessed the same psychic abilities as her mother. Maggie's sister, Rose, had abilities that rooted more in her head, like a knowing of things she shouldn't. Riley considered herself like a second mom to Emily Jane. This was the closest Riley would ever get to having kids. Soccer was Emily Jane's newest passion. Okay, armchair parent was probably a more appropriate term to describe Riley's role. Still, she supported Emily Jane in a way that Riley's parents had never supported her.
"Did you see what that little girl did to her? She pushed her down."
"It's part of the game," Maggie assured her.
"If you say so," Riley said with a huff. "I still think she should kick the girl in the shin."
The mother in the row ahead of them twisted around in her seat, her eyes narrowed and her lips pursed.
Let me guess. That's your kid?
Riley lifted her chin, returning the woman's look of disdain with a glare of her own. The woman huffed and turned around. Riley grabbed a piece of popcorn from her bag and targeted the woman in her sights. Maggie put her hand over Riley's, lowering it before she could follow through. She silently shook her head. Riley wasn't there to impress anyone. Heck, half the town loved her, and the other half wouldn't cry if she were to keel over and die. The lady sitting on the bleachers in front of her had probably just chosen a side. Riley had that effect with people.
We're having apple pie to eat after dinner, if you want to come over, Maggie offered,
as if the words apple pie would soothe Riley's ruffled feathers. It totally worked.
Sorry, I can't tonight. I promised Kent he could have the night off, but save me a piece.
Well, let me know when you're free, and we can do it another night.
Riley smirked.
What's the catch? You don't offer apple pie without a catch.
Well, I could use reinforcements to deal with the ghost in Emily Jane's closet.
Is he still giving her trouble?
Riley raised her brow.
She's having a hard time sleeping now, and when she does sleep, she's having nightmares about him hovering at the edge of her bed. I'm surprised you haven't found a way to get rid of him yet.
He won't come out for me. I was hoping maybe if you were around, he'd come out for you. You're good at scaring them away.
I have a way of bringing out the best in everyone.
Of course I'll come over and see what I can do, Riley said.
Perfect. My sister Rose promised to help too.
Where is Rose? Riley asked.
Not sure. I haven't talked to her in a couple days. I'm sure she just forgot about the game.
Maggie shrugged. This wasn't the first time that Riley had shown up to one of Emily Jane's soccer games and Rose was a no-show. Maggie was always prepared with an excuse for her sister.
Woohoo!
Riley jumped from her seat, sending popcorn flying from her bag as she screamed in excitement when Emily Jane sent the ball sailing into the goal.
I'm sorry, Gloria, Maggie offered.
Gloria plucked the popcorn from her hair. Her displeased expression was a bonus. If she didn't check herself, Riley was more than willing to tell her about a few of the ghosts hanging out on the field. Goodness knew there were more deceased grandparents by the fence line and on the field than parents in the stands.
Chapter 3.
Riley had a packed schedule, filled with important things to handle, unlike the day before, when cheering on Maggie's daughter had been the highlight of her afternoon. Riley's life hadn't always been chaotic, but inheriting several $1 million had a way of changing a person's priorities and adding responsibilities. She didn't really have time in her day to waste. So why had she driven to this dark street at 4 in the morning, with a burner phone and an untraceable gun sitting within reach? The answer was easy. Knowledge. She'd need all the help she could get to protect herself from the man that lived in the house across the street from where she'd parked. She'd certainly never considered herself a stalker, until now. There would normally be no good reason to be up before 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning, but that was the time she'd had to get up to arrive sight unseen. She'd been waiting 2 whole hours, fighting the urge to take matters into her own hands. She'd worried she'd be bored waiting and watching, but her mind had proven her wrong by playing all kinds of scenarios in her head. What if he spotted her? What if the neighbors called the cops? How would she explain the unregistered gun and what she was doing on that street at such an early time? There was so much that could go wrong, and so much that could go right. She'd needed to do some recon. There were no early walkers out on the streets, few toys in all the yards to suggest any kids lived nearby. All the houses were still dark, and no one came and went. There would be no worry about nighttime workers spotting her leaving a future crime scene. This time of morning, or a bit earlier, when the night hid her movements, was the best option for carrying out her plans. A light flickered behind a curtain in the house across the street she'd been watching. A car slowly rolled by, tossing out papers onto people's lawns. Riley jotted down the time on a piece of paper. She had no intention of being outed by a paperboy. The car filled with a chill, caressing goosebumps on Riley's arms. The floral perfume scent that accompanied temperature change always warned of an impending visitation.
"You should just leave old bones alone,"
Stretch, Riley's ghostly best friend, said as she appeared in the passenger seat. Stretch, also known as Catherine Floyd, was a stray who had followed Riley home years ago. Riley had become her pet project in trying to earn her ticket for entrance through the pearly gates, teaching her everything about the shadowy world most people could never see with their eyes.
"He's not as nimble as he used to be. That might make this easier. Once his old bones are buried on my evil-infested property, where he'll be trapped for eternity, then I'll forget about him."
Who knew evil property was even a thing? Riley hadn't. Yet there was no denying the Bateman property, which Riley had recently acquired and had once housed a family of serial killers, still had evil trapped within the gates. Soon her father's spirit would add to the ambiance. Goodness knows there was no way in hell that she'd kill him without establishing a backup plan for his lingering spirit. It was exactly the kind of place where a man like her father deserved to spend eternity.
"Isn't it a little early for talk of death, murder, and evil land?"
"Not where he's concerned. I've spent most of my life with nothing but this goal in mind, and I intend to see it through."
When he died, the memories would stop haunting her, and her heart could finally heal. She only took her eyes off the house for a second to pour another cup of coffee from the thermos. She was going to need the extra caffeine.
"He hurt you. I get it. But if you hurt him back, you'll be no better than he is."
Stretch's gaze softened as she stared at Riley.
"You know what they say about the apple and the tree."
Riley sipped her coffee and returned her gaze to her target, just in time to watch as a light flicked on at the opposite end of the house. The blinds swiveled open, slowly giving her a glimpse of the man inside. It was him. He was there in all of his evil glory. Her stomach twisted in tiny knots. He'd changed a ton over the years, looking older, grayer, meaner. The hard lines of his face tightened as he poured a cup of coffee, and then sipped it black, just like his dead heart. His gaze traveled out the window and into the empty yard, briefly passing her car parked across the street from his home. The tinted windows helped hide her identity. Was this what his morning was always like? How the tables had turned. She was the predator, and the man she called Dad was now her prey.
"You're just as stubborn as you were as a child.
Only now, as an adult, I know how to better hide the skeletons in my closet," Riley said.
"You're hopeless."
"Hopeless, maybe, but not helpless."
Riley's father had spent years tormenting her and her brother Tucker on the anniversary of the day she'd shot at him and missed. This year's anniversary, she had no plans of missing. The last time he'd found her hiding spot, he left the bullet casing on her dresser as if it was a gift. They played a never-ending game of cat and mouse that she had every intention of winning for good. One shot was all it would take. One shot, and she'd be able to breathe her first sigh of relief.
"You'll go to jail, and I won't come to visit," Stretch growled and vanished.
"It'll be worth it," Riley called out as her phone vibrated.
She ignored it while sipping her coffee once again and watching her father over the rim of the cup. A low, annoying hum started in her ears, the kind that the silence only made louder. Her dad frowned, turned, and walked out of sight, just as her phone vibrated again, pulling her from the trance. She answered it without checking the caller ID. There was only one person who had the burner phone's number.
Yeah, she growled.
People are starting to look for you now. It's time to get back before anyone notices that you're gone, Oscar said.
Riley had inherited a dead man's entire estate. His assistant, Oscar, was a bonus. He understood her like most didn't, and was her right hand.
Things were just picking up.
You've had 2 hours. It's time to come home. You have plans you can't get out of today. Plans only you can do, he said.
Can't you handle the meeting without me? She whined.
It's not in my job description. They're going to want to meet the new owner. They're expecting you.
I'm leaving now.
Riley hung up and turned the key in the ignition. She was about to put the car into drive when the door across the street opened. Her dad stepped out and itched the stubble on his chin as he glanced around at all his neighbors' houses. He stepped off the porch, picked up the newspaper, and looked around once more, as if feeling the weight of her hatred and years of pent-up anger. His gaze slid over her car once again, before he turned and vanished just as quickly as he'd appeared. Something he'd perfected over the years. Something she was about to help him do again, only permanently this time. This was her dirty little secret, one that she wasn't ready to share with the world, or with the people who could stop her. She knew exactly where and how she was going to hide his body.
Chapter 4. It was getting harder and harder to breathe in the confined, dark space. The cushion beneath Riley's back, at first glance, looked inviting, even comfortable, if not a bit claustrophobic. The pillow beneath her head felt like it was stuffed with bricks. It was all a farce, but why would the dead care? It's not like anyone other than Riley was stupid enough to climb inside a coffin.
Riley's need for access to ghostly stragglers and their bodies had driven her to this point, since all the promises of an easier daily life were behind locked security doors. One touch of a dead body with the spirit lingering around, and it was bon voyage, baby. She could move the spirits along without the need to crash funerals. Grieving people tended to frown when she did that. The coffin lid lifted open, and she inhaled freedom. In this case, freedom smelled like embalming fluid and looked exactly like Oscar, her assistant. His dark hair and green eyes were highlighted by his olive complexion. His strained smile was one she was getting to know well. He understood more than most of her need to see and deal with the dead before the funerals occurred. It was the easiest way to keep her sanity. Riley sat up in the casket, glancing around at the other 6 coffins in the showroom. There were several kinds to choose from. Some came complete with satin interiors and places to put mementos. Others offered only the bare bones for those people who couldn't afford a Cadillac, or possibly didn't care. Riley was the latter. She wouldn't care how she was laid to rest. She had no intention of hanging around after she kicked the bucket, not considering the creepy crawlies that could smell death in the air and had an evil appetite to consume apparitions. No thank you.
We need a dozen, Riley said with a grin.
No, we don't, Oscar corrected.
You're no fun, she said. Well, if I can't bedazzle this one and take it home, then help me climb out.
When I said you look like you need more rest, this wasn't what I was talking about.
Oscar helped Riley climb out of the casket and caught her when she almost fell.
I haven't been getting much sleep lately. I swear, the restless spirits in the county are multiplying. It's like they're having some big convention in town and I didn't get the memo.
Well, that's why buying the funeral home and cemetery was a necessity, and well worth the money.
Why didn't you think of doing this sooner? She teased.
Her phone vibrated, and she checked the caller ID, letting the call go straight to voicemail.
Henry again? Oscar asked. You know you're eventually going to need to deal with him.
She turned her back on the funeral director giving them the tour and lowered her voice.
And how exactly do you expect me to deal with a Reaper? Until recently, I didn't even know they were real.
Henry was a conundrum. When she'd first met the guy, she mistakenly thought he was a man of cloth, until she'd been caught breaking into a house where he'd been doing the same. It was only while trying to eradicate a dark entity that she figured out his real line of work. He was a Reaper, of all things, and he'd been sent to determine the cause of all the chaos going on. A Reaper. She'd had a hard time believing it until he'd saved her life. She was good at dealing with ghosts, but Reapers were on a whole different level. One she wasn't ready to deal with. Not after seeing firsthand how they worked their Reaper mojo.
Oscar shrugged. I'm sure you'll figure out how to deal with him.
Riley was used to dealing with monsters. She'd been raised by one until she was 5 years old. After he was out of her life, the dead ones took over, showing up in her closet and scaring the bejesus out of her every night.
I don't know why you've been so grumpy lately. You wanted to see what was going on inside the funeral home, and I provided you with an inside look behind the closed curtains, Oscar said.
You deserve a raise, she said.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to help you with the Reaper, though. I enjoy living a little too much.
Neither her brother, her boyfriend, nor her assistant had been able to come up with a plan to deal with the Reapers, who were determined to get her to play by their rules.
I know I told you I wanted to see what was happening behind the funeral home doors, but I was thinking more along the lines of needing to steal a keycard to gain entry. I didn't mean for our foundation to buy the whole dang building and business.
She crossed her arms over her chest.
Seriously, what do we know about owning and running a funeral home and cemetery?
Nothing. But it's a business like any other, and this investment promises never to run out of clients.
She shrugged. Oscar made a good point.
Miss St. James, if you'd like to continue the tour, Mrs. Perlman said as she stood in the entryway with a clipboard pressed to her chest.
Her raised brow and deepening scowl proved she was not amused by their antics.
Mrs. Perlman's opinion didn't matter. This was the brass tacks. Finding out where the funeral home kept the dearly departed was the whole reason Oscar talked her into buying the business and the building.
No more visiting funerals and getting funny looks from grieving people. Not when she could just show up here nightly and help the spirits cross with a single touch, out of sight from the public eye.
Of course, we'd love to continue the tour, Oscar answered for Riley.
Where do you keep the dead bodies?
Riley rubbed her hands together.
Oscar rested his hand over hers, silencing her excitement.
Chapter 5.
They're respectfully prepared in the back, Mrs. Perlman answered as her frown deepened.
Oscar leaned in and whispered as Mrs. Perlman turned to move down the hall.
Play nice. These people think we're going to get rid of them.
It's not the employees I want to get rid of.
Mrs. Perlman stopped in front of a door that required a card key and swiped.
I'm going to need one of those key cards, Riley said, pointing to the card hanging by a lanyard around the woman's neck. Of course, Mrs. Perlman answered. You are the new owner. You received the keys to the building when you closed on the property.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it didn't include a hall pass.
Mrs. Perlman's brows dipped.
You can have mine once I finish the tour, and I'll get a replacement. That is, if you plan to keep the current staff.
Riley has no plans to make any changes to the staffing or how you run this place. She's very happy with your performance and is hoping for a smooth transition. And if you don't mind, you can also inform the rest of the staff that they have job security.
Was Riley happy with their performance? It was obvious that there was only one gifted person in the building.
No one else had even been aware of the poltergeist black mist that was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?